Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin from the last word on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis. In effect, we're in the middle of a discussion. In our previous Shiur, we spoke about one who eats Eiver min hachai and Bosor min hatrefa. And we cited in our last discussion that even though Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish had an argument regarding Bosor min hachai, namely what is the pasuk that serves as the source for Bosor min hachai, eating meat or flesh from a ripped off a living animal. Nevertheless, when it comes to Eiver min hachai and Bosor min hatrefa, two other Isurim that were the subject of our last shiur, there is agreement that those are learned from two separate psukim. As a result of that, if one had eaten a kezias of Eiver min hachai and Bosor min hatrefa, he would have been guilty two separate offenses, two separate punishments, because there are two separate psukim that teach me each one of those averus. Being that that's the case, let us just review. That would come out that according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, if one ate Eiver min hachai and Bosor min hatrefa, he would be guilty shtayim, two sets of malkos, two sets of lashings. We now continue our Gemara today, v'raminu. We raise an objection, we raise a stira. So, that having been said, before we go into the Gemara itself, there's some markings that appear. So let's just mention a word about them before we go into the problem. You see on the outside margin, under the heading Mivneh, Mivneh is a structural note. You see a double underline with dots in it. This is used to highlight two phrases that appear on this page. One is Ochal Eiver min hachai min hatrefa. One ate the limb. Ate a limb ripped off of a living animal that happened to also be a trefa. Later on the Amud, a little bit more than halfway down, the Gemara will introduce eating chelev from a chelev min hachai, min hatrefa. That means he ripped out a piece of chelev. Chelev is sometimes translated as forbidden fats, but it's sections of an animal that are forbidden, and one who eats chelev b'mezid, he would be chayev kores, and if he does it b'shogeg, so he brings a korban chatas, a sin offering. The Gemara will mention one who ate chelev min hachai min hatrefa, one who ripped out chelev from a living animal that happened to be a trefa. So these are two separate topics as far as the Gemara is concerned, but marking wise, we felt that since they are both examples of taking something from a living animal that happens to be a trefa, we wanted to highlight this with our markings. In addition, the Gemara now will feature a machlokes, and we have this listed under our nosei, under our topic heading. But before we get to that, before we get to the topic heading, let's review again the problem that we are dealing with. In yesterday's shiur, the end of Kuf Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara mentioned that if one were to have eaten Eiver min hachai and Bosor min hatrefa, those are two separate offenses, so there is unanimity, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree he would be chayev for violating two offenses. That in mind, now let's continue with the Gemara. At the top of Kuf Gimel, Ochal Eiver min hachai min hatrefa. There are little numbers that we have in the Gemara here at the top of the page. Abram and Ahai is called number one because this corresponds to the numbering that we used at the bottom of Kuf Beis Umid Beis, where three Averos were discussed. We had mentioned Abram and Ahai, Bosom and Atrefa, and we mentioned Bosom and Ahai as well. So Abram and Ahai corresponds to the first one of those three Averos that were mentioned, and the number three corresponds to the number three that was mentioned, namely the Bosor Min HaTrefa offense. So if one ate both of these, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayav Shtayim, he is guilty of two offenses. That actually is quite familiar sounding. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar Eino Chayav Elo Achas. And here, Reish Lakish says he's chayav only one. Now, we've dashed underline achas because here we have a departure from what Reish Lakish had said on the previous omid. The Gemara points this out. Bishlamol Rabbi Yochanan Nicha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, things are fine. Elol Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Kashya. But according to Reish Lakish, is it not so that Abram and Ahai and Trefa and eating Trefa are learned from two separate psukim? Being that that's the case, so should he not be chai of two offenses? Why here does he say that if one ate Avram and Ahai from an animal, that's a trefa, is he guilty of only one? Omar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef answers, lo kashya. There isn't any stira per se in Reish Lakish. Kan bevehemo achas, kan b'shtei behemos. The Gemara at the bottom of Kuf Beis, where Reish Lakish agreed there would be two offenses, that's the case of Shtei Behemos. This presentation of Reish Lakish on the top of that we just had, two, three lines above, that is where he ate the Aver Min Ahai from an animal that was a Trefa. In other words, it's from one animal. Not Aver Min Ahai from one animal and Trefa from another animal, but we're talking about eating the Aver Min Ahai from an animal that happens to be a Trefa. The Gemara points this out. B'shtei behemos mechayev shtayim. That is what we saw in Reish Lakish on Kuf Beis Amid Beis. B'behemo achas pligi. As opposed to what we saw on Kuf Beis Amid Beis where there was unanimity, the machlokis that we see here is because it's coming, the Abram and Ahai is coming from the animal that itself happens to be a trefa. Now the Gemara asks, "Bevehemo achas, b'mai pligi?" What is the underlying point of machlokis when dealing with one animal, namely an animal that's a trefa, that you happen to have ripped off a limb from it? Before going on, let us glance at the side of the Gemara where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which we already learned by learning the Gemara, and we also have a mivneh, a structural note, which will introduce the four triangles that will appear as the Gemara unfolds. So we have seen under our, now we'll read the nosei, the topic heading. We see a machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Kamo chayovim mi she'ochal aver min achai mi behemo shehi trefa. How many offenses are violated when one eats an aver min achai from an animal that happens itself to be a trefa? The mivneh, the triangle, introduces four drochim lahazbir machlokas hanal, four approaches in explaining the machlokas that we have just featured, namely eating Aver Min Ahai from an animal that happens to be a trefa. Rav Shlokish says, you're chayav only one, and Rav Yochanan says, you're chayav two. The Gemara, Omar Rova, Omar Abaye, Kegoin Shenitrefa Im Yitzias Ruba. The Gemara asked, Bevehem Achas B'mai Pligi, when you're dealing with one animal that happens to be a trefa and you ripped a limb off of it, what are they arguing about? Why would there be an exemption of one of the two offenses? So Abaye says, we're talking about an animal, shenitrefa imitzias ruba. It became a trefa as it was being born. Mor sovar, Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that there are two offenses in this case, feels, behemo b'chayeho le'evorim omedes. And living animal is designed to be dismembered, so that we look at it as a collection of avorim. The isur trefa, the isur aver bahadi hadodi kaosu. Therefore, as it was being born, so it's at that point it is becoming a trefa, and it is also being viewed as separate limbs. So that the iser of aver minachai aver is a limb, the limb identity or the limb aspect of the animal and the trefa aspect are taking place simultaneously, and therefore there are two offenses. One isn't preceding the other that would then get us involved with the problem of ein iser chal al iser, where we say a second offense, a second violation, a second prohibition does not attach itself to something that's already prohibited. Here we're not dealing with first and second. Here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're dealing with offenses that set in simultaneously. Umor Savar, Reish Lakish, who said that there is only one offense, feels Behemo Bechaya Lav Le'evorim Oimedes. An animal, as it's a live animal, is not viewed in terms of limbs. Therefore, the only time the issue of limb would arise would be at the point that you rip it off. Well, at that point, it has already become a trefa. It was previously trefa. We said that the machlokis concerns a case where it's becoming a trefa as it's born. V'lo osi iser aver chayel a iser trefa. The prohibition of aver cannot attach itself to something that's already prohibited, already usur, as a trefa. Rashi points out that this explanation applies to one animal that happens to have already been a trefa before you ripped off its limb. However, as far as what we saw on Kuf Beis Amid Beis, where Reish Lakish said there are two offenses for one who eats Aver Minachai and Trefa, well, that's because we're dealing with two separate cows. One cow is a Trefa, and one cow, you ripped a limb off of it. There, in that case, there is no issue of Isser Chal Al Isser, of a second prohibition attaching itself to a piece that was already prohibited. Once again, those were two separate animals. Continuing in the Gemara, the Eboyes Emo, another approach, you could say, the Kuli Almo Behemo Bechayel Lav Le'evorim Omedes. An animal, when it's alive, is not viewed in terms of its limbs. And being that that's the case, we're talking about an animal that was first a trefa, so the trefa identity set in first. And the machlokis now concerns uvemesis ser aver mechal iser trefo komiflagi. Mesi means to come. Does the iser of aver minachai, when you do rip it off, does that come and set upon the fact that it's already animal meat that's forbidden as a trefa? That is their komifli. That's their point of dissent or disagreement. More savar osi iser aver chayla iser trefa. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the iser of aver menachai comes and attaches itself to that which it already was osir as a trefa. And if you ask, well, how is it that a second iser attaches itself to something that was already osir? So to that we say, well, the second iser, this case of aver menachai, has a stringency to it, as a strictness, a chumrah associated with it, insofar that even Gentiles, even Bnei Noach, are usher in it, are forbidden from it. So it has this added feature to it that enables it to be superimposed and added to the pre-existing trefa prohibition. Omar Sava, Reish Lakish holds, lo osi iser aver, chayala iser trefa. Reish Lakish holds, across the boards, we simply do not accept the concept of iser chal al iser. If once something is already forbidden, it cannot become more forbidden. A third approach, the kule alma, everyone will agree, everyone, namely Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, will agree, behemo bechayel le'evorim omedes, ukegon shenitrafali achar mikan. as opposed to the two approaches before where the trefa status was there from the outset, here, not so. Here, we're talking about agreement between them that a behema is viewed as soon as it's born as in terms of limbs. So the limb status, even before you rip it off, is already there. So that the Isser Aver is there first, and it became this animal from which you are ripping off a limb. It happened to become a trefa later on. In other words, it was born as a non-trefa. At that point, the limb status set in, so the potential of Isser Aver Min HaChai is there. Later on, some kind of organ defect arose, making it a trefa. And now, what is the point of controversy? Uvemeis Isser Trefa Chayala Isser Aver. Can the trefa prohibition, which is second, can it attach itself to the pre-existing Isser Aver Min HaChai Kol Miflegi? That's their point of discussion or of disagreement. Mor Sovar Rabbi Yochanan says, Osi v'chayel, it comes and sets upon it, and therefore one is chayev two offenses. Umor Sovar Reish Lakish, who said there's only one offense, holds lo osi v'chayel. The second iser does not set in. The second iser in this case, in this presentation, being the trefa. Rava Omar. Rava, a fourth approach. Kegoin shetolash mimeno aver v'torfa boi. According to Rava, we're not talking about it necessarily being born as a trefa, and we're not necessarily getting involved with how one looks at it, if it's omedes leivorim or not. Rather, what happens here is that at the same moment that you rip off the limb, it's a type of limb that causes it to become a trefa. This is true, for example, with ripping off the hind leg from above the joint. It's what Rashi calls min arkuva lamala, ripping it off at, we'll say, at the thigh. That would render it a trefa. It's also now an aver min achai. Mor sovar, Rabbi Yochanan holds, behemo b'chayeho lav le'evorim oimedes. He holds that an animal, when it's alive, is not viewed in terms of limbs. Isser Aver, the Isser Trefa, Bahadi, Hadodi, Kaosu. Therefore, the Aver Min HaChai prohibition and the Trefa status set in simultaneously. And as a result of that, it's not a problem of Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Both Isser and both prohibitions set in simultaneously, and therefore there are two violations. Umor Sovar, Reish Lakish holds, Behema B'chayel Levorim Omedes. This animal, as soon as it was born, is already viewed in terms of limbs, so that the status of Aver Min HaChai was there previously, before you ripped off the limb, making it into a trefa. V'lo osi iser trefa chayel a iser aver. The trefa prohibition does not set in on the pre-existing iser aver min achai. We have a period here, and one may contemplate putting in a slash mark, because this is now a new discussion. We don't have a slash mark at this point because there is this common theme of eating, ripping off something from a living animal that happens to be a trefa. So we're going to rely on the period that we have in here to create a sense of disconnection from the previous discussion. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, topic heading, Machloikis Reb Chiya Bar Abba v'Reb Yavo b'divrei Reb Yochanan. Both of these Amoroim, Reb Chiya and Reb Yavo, will be arguing as to what Reb Yochanan says, Kamo chayovim mi she'ochal chelev min achai mi behemo trefa. How many offenses will one be in violation if he eats chelev ripped out of a living animal that happens to also be a trefa? It should be pointed out ahead of time that this act, this consumption, eating chelev min achai min atrefa, involves one with three sins. One is chelev, the other is the ripping out of something that is alive, like we call Aver Min HaChai or Bosor Min HaChai. And the third violation is Trefa. The issue here is one who eats Chelev Min HaChai from a Trefa, how many penalties, how many punishments is he to suffer? The Gemara. Omer Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Omer Reb Yochanan. Marking wise, we've dashed underlined Reb Chiya Bar Abba, and a few lines later we have Rabbi Avo, in addition to Rabbi Ami. They represent Rabbi Avo and Reb Chiya Bar Abba represent Deos as to what Rabbi Yochanan says, and hence we have Rabbi Yochanan underlined. You'll see shortly that Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Ami, they join up in agreeing that there are three offenses. The Gemara. Omer Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ochal Chelev Min HaChai Min HaTrefa, Chayov Shtayim. Even though there are three sins involved, punishment-wise, he's only going to be guilty of two punishments. Omale Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami turns to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and says, "V'leima mor shalosh, she'ani oymer shalosh." Why don't you say there are three punishments? I say, I have learned in the name of Rabbi Yochanan three. You're quoting Rabbi Yochanan and saying two, but I've learned from Rabbi Yochanan three. Itmar Nami, and we have a statement likewise, like Rabbi Ami, Om Rabbi Avo, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Ochal Chelev Min HaChai, Min HaTrefa, Chayav Shalosh. Bamai Komifuki. Here the Gemara asks, what's the underlying point of contention? Before going on, we now encounter a diamond. This is indicated by the Mivneh heading on the in the margin. These are Drochim Lahasbir Machloikas Anal. These are the approaches in explaining this particular machlokis. Two or three. What are the circumstances? Kagoin shenitrefa im yitzias ruba. As the animal was being born, that the majority of the animal came out in its birth, it became a trefa at that moment. Ma diomar shalosh. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Avo, the opinions that hold three. These are opinions within Rabbi Yochanan, of course. Kosavar, they are of the opinion. Behemo b'chayel levorem omedes. An animal, when it's born, when it's alive, when it becomes alive, so to speak, when it's born, it is already viewed as in limb form. As a result of that, the Isser Chelev, the Isser Eber, the Isser Trefa, Bahadi, Hadodi, Kaosu. Once again, this animal is becoming a Trefa as soon as it's born. As a result of that, the three offenses set in simultaneously. Rashi adds that how is it that they're setting in simultaneously? Chelev, which is one of the three offenses here, happens to be mutter when it comes to the embryo. The Isser of Chelev also becomes binding or enacted upon its birth. The trefa in this example, the trefa offense is also taking place upon its birth. Now, as far as the Aver Min HaChai aspect, these opinions that say three hold that a behemo, when it's alive, is already viewed as being in limb form. As a result of that, the three offenses, Chelev, Aver Min HaChai, and Trefa, set in simultaneously, thereby causing three and not getting involved with a problem of, or a limitation of Isser Chalal Isser. Here, they all are becoming prohibited simultaneously. Uman de Omar Shtayim, namely Reb Chiya Bar Abba, in his interpretation or presentation of Reb Yochanan, says there are only two offenses. Kosavar Be'ema B'chayel Lav Levorem Omedes. The animal, as it's born, when it comes to life, it is not viewed in limb form. V'isur Chelev V'isur Trefa Iko V'isur Ever Lo Osi Chayel. As a result, the Isser Chelev and Isser Trefa, they do set in simultaneously. The animal is becoming a Trefa as it's born, and as it's being born, the Isser Chelev sets in. at the same time. However, since Lav Levarim Omedes, the Isser Aver, doesn't set in and only later on when the limb is actually ripped off. But at that point, we're dealing with an animal that is already prohibited as a trefa, and you're dealing with chelev that's being ripped out, which is already prohibited. And therefore, this later prohibition, Aver Menachai, does not set in. The Iboy Esema, another approach, the Kuleyamo Behemo Bechayel Lavle Varam Omedes, as opposed to the previous approach which made this the center of controversy, here we're going to say everyone agrees, namely the opinions of 2 and 3 will agree that a Behemo, when it's alive, is not viewed in limb form. And the Machlokis concerns this very point. Does the Isser Aver set upon, get attached to, the pre-existing Isser Chelev and Isser Trefa that are here? Mor Savar Osi Chayel, the ones that hold 3, they hold Isser Chal al Isser. Umor Savar, Reb Chiya Bar Abba, holds only 2, Lo Osi Chayel. So this last Isser of Aver will not attach itself to the 2 pre-existing Isurim, leaving us therefore with 2 offenses only. V'iboyesema, a third approach, the kuleyamo behemo b'chayel evorim omedes, all will be in agreement that a living animal is viewed in terms of limbs. Ukegon shenitrafali achar mikan. And the case here, according to the third approach, would be where the animal became a trefa later on. Being that we're saying everyone agrees, Behemo b'chayel evar omedes, we have the Isser Chelev and the Isser Aver at the outset, and it becomes a trefa later on. Uvemeis Isser Trefa mechal Isser Aver komifligi. And the issue here is, does the Isser Trefa come and set upon the Isser, the pre-existing Isser Aver? More sovar, those that hold, there are 3 offenses, hold Osi Chayel. It does come because of Isser Chalal Isser, Midi Dahave Achelev. Similar to the way we view the following case involving Chelev, the Omar Mor, HaTorah Omra, Yavo Isser Nevela, Yochol Al Isser Chelev, Yavo Isser Trefa, Yochol Al Isser Chelev. The Torah, as a result of psukim that are darshaned in the Gemara elsewhere, in Maseches Zvochim, we see that the Isser of Nevela and Trefa can attach themselves to Chelev. Namely, Chelev is a pre-existing Isser, and if you have an animal, let us say, that dropped dead, and you took Chelev from it, if one eats it, he'll be in violation of Chelev, as well as the later violation of Nevela. That's an example of Isser Chal al Isser. The Isser Nevela being Chal on Chelev. Likewise, an animal that was healthy and became a Trefa, and you ate chelev from a trefa, we would say Isser Chal al Isser, the latter Isser of trefa, coming and attaching itself to the pre-existing Isser of chelev. So along the same lines, we want to say here that the Isser trefa will attach itself to the pre-existing Isser Aver. Once again, just like we saw the Isser trefa attaching itself to a pre-existing Isser Chelev based on Isser Chal al Isser. So the opinion that holds 3 offenses will say that the latter Isser Trefa will come and attach itself to the Isser of Aver, just like we saw Trefa attaching itself in Maseches Zvachim to the pre-existing Isser Chelev. The Idach, the other opinion that holds that there are only 2 offenses, he says that there is Isser Chalal Isser in the case of Trefa attaching itself to Chelev. That's Achelev Hu Dechayev. Trefa can attach itself to Chelev, or there's another Girsa that says Achelev Hu Dechayel, that the Isser Trefa will set in upon a pre-existing Isser of Chelev, and that's because Chelev has a certain weakness to it, allowing room for subsequent Isurim to set in. And what is the weakness that Chelev has? Dehuter Michlolo, at the very top of Daf of Amid Beis. Michlolo means that there is an allowance of chalev when it comes to chayos. In other words, there's a general principle that chalev is prohibited. However, when it comes to undomesticated kosher variety animals, the chalev found in those, in chayos, is mutter. That's huter michlolo, a heter that comes forth from the general realm of prohibition. Aval Aver, but when it comes to an issue of something getting attached to a pre-existing Isser of Aver, that cannot happen, because Aver is already a solid, total, strong prohibition, leaving no room for subsequent Averos or sins to get attached. And hence, treifel can't get attached. Aval, reading that in the Gemara, aval aver delo huter michlolo, we won't say there that the isser treifel can be chal, can attach itself to the isser of aver menachai, and therefore he is of the opinion that there are only two offenses: the offense of chelev and the offense of aver menachai. But the offense of treifel cannot get attached. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new topic. And on the margin, we have written the Nosei Mivne. We've combined the topic heading with the structural note. So if we just glance at the Gemara by way of markings, we will see a series of triangles and also double underlines. The topic heading and structural note reads as follows, reading in the outside margin, Cholkoi mibachutz. That's the topic. Cholko is to split, to divide something before putting it in your mouth. Chilek hakezayis shel Eber Menachai koidem shiitnenu l'soch piv. He was holding an olive quantity of Eber Menachai, and before putting it in his mouth, he split it into two halves. V'ochal ze levadoi v'achaka chatzi asheni. He ate one half zayas quantity by itself, and then he ate the second half olive quantity of Aver Menachai. There are going to be three approaches. The triangle are Gimel, Gishos, L'Noseanal. Three approaches. We're not saying three opinions, but three approaches in presenting this issue. We are also using a volcano form, which havlotas kol echod migishos hanal, which emphasizes the three different approaches. What are the words that you see highlighted? You see the words mahu, poter, and chayov. So Rav Dimi, in introducing this issue of chokom ibuchutz, has it presented as a question that was asked by Reb Shimon Lakish of Reb Yochanan. Ravin, when he approaches, he doesn't present it as a question, presents it as a matter of fact, that Reb Yochanan said that a case of Cholko Mibachutz would be potter, would be exempt. And according to Rav Dimi's approach, Reb Yochanan is asked this, and he answers, in fact, that it's exempt. Ravin simply says it straight out that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Cholko Mibachutz would result in exemption. In other words, there would be no violation if one ate it like that. Both Rav Dimi and Ravin will have their presentations of another case of Cholko Mibifnim that we will discuss later as we get into the Gemara. The third approach one sees later on is that of Rebbe Lozar, who says that he has a very strict approach that says even Cholko Mibachutz will be Chayav. The fact that you consume the two half Zasim in separate swallowings, that does not create exemption. Now, turning to the Gemara. Ki osa Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came, he told us, Bo minei Rav Shimon Lokish Mir Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he traveled between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. He tells us here in Bavel that I know that Reish Lakish asked a question of Rabbi Yochanan, Cholko mi bachutz mahu. If a person had taken a kezias of an olive quantity of Aver Min Achai and split it before he put it in his mouth and ate the half olive quantities separately, mahu, what will the din be? Do we say that just like all other prohibited food items, eating them in halves, if you eat it within the time frame known as Kedei Achilas Pras, which are different shitas, different opinions as to what that is, but let's say 4 minutes, for example. If one ate the two half olive quantities within 4 minutes, just like in other Isurim, if one ate Trefa or Nevela, he would be Chayav. So too over here, if he ate the two halves in one time frame of Kedei Achilas Pras. There's another side, though, and that is, since Aver Min Achai is a Chiddush, the Chiddush is as follows. In general, Ginin V'Atzamos, sinews and bones, are not, even if they come from a prohibited creature, they themselves are not forbidden. They are basically tasteless, and therefore are not included in the Torah prohibition of Macholos Asuras, of forbidden food items. But when it comes to Aver Min Achai, if you have an olive quantity of Aver Min Achai, and the olive quantity is not just meat, but it's made up of partially meat, partially bones and sinews, we know that one who eats that, he is chayav. That's called a chiddush. So it could be, since it's a novel point of law, the standards that we apply to other forbidden food items do not apply here. And therefore, there would be no violation unless you eat it in one shot. The term achila might be understood as eating something in one shot, and not eating it in parts. The truth is that in general, eating in parts also results in guilt. That's because we expand the simple meaning of achila to include eating within a time frame. However, in the case of Aver Min Achai, since it's a chiddush, we're not going to use any expanded definitions of achila, but use the very basic fundamental understanding of achila, and that would be eating it in one shot. So it could be that since Aver Min Achai is a chiddush, that the case of Cholko Mi Bachutz will in fact be exempt. Omar Le, so Rabbi Yochanan answers, Potter, in fact, it's exempt. Mibifnim Mai, this is a new situation. He put the kezias of Aver Min Achai into his mouth whole, a complete zayas quantity. However, as he was about to swallow it, he didn't swallow the full amount, the full zayas, in one shot. Next to the, we'll call the back of his throat, or the back of his mouth, next to that point, or at that point, he swallowed it in parts. That's the case of Cholko Mi Bifnim. What is the halacha then? Omar Le Chayav, Rabbi Yochanan would say, that is guilty. Ki Osa Ravin Omar. When Ravin came, Ravin, like Rav Dimi, traveled between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and when he came, he said over, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, straight out, Cholko Mi Bachutz, Potter. We know that Ravin is speaking in the name of Rabbi Yochanan based on a Rashi later on the Omid in Dibra Maschil, Hare Nehne. Rashi points this out, that Ravin is also saying his point in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Mibifnim, let us say you have this case of Cholko Mibifnim, as we said, next to the Beis Ablia, right before swallowing, he split it in his mouth, so to speak, and he swallowed it in halves. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayov, Reish Lakish Omar Potter. Now, this is a new element. When Rav Dimi presented it, he was presenting Rabbi Yochanan's responses to the issue. And according to Rav Dimi's version, Rabbi Yochanan was asking the questions. Here, according to Rabin's version, Reish Lakish isn't asking the questions. He is simply stating his own stance. And this is certainly a point of difference between the two approaches. So Reish Lakish here is telling us that not only will Choko mi bachutz be exempt, but Choko mi bifnim is also exempt. This will give rise to a question later in the Gemara, according to Reish Lakish, where is there ever guilt? So the Gemara continues in elaborating. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayov, in the case of Choko mi bifnim, is guilt worthy. Hare nene groinoi bekezayas. When it was in his mouth, in his what we call the back of his mouth, or the point of where his throat is, there was a full kezias. That's what he means. Hare nene grono bekezias, and throat enjoyment is enough to hold one culpable. Vereish Lakish amar potter. He says there is exemption. Achilo b'me'ov bo'inon v'leka. That means that as the food item descends into his stomach, there has to be a shiur achilo. There has to be a kezias descending into his stomach. And that is not happening here. You have only a chatzi zayas at each time descending into his stomach. Well, elo l'Rav Shimon ben Lakish, hechi mishkachas lo demechayev. According to Reish Lakish, where do you ever have a case of a violation of Eivir Min HaChai that leads to guilt? Rashi explains this problem under Dibur Masel Hechi Mishkachas Lo Bekezayis Ha I Efshar Lulois Achila Levoila Kula Yachad. According to Rashi, the understanding seems to be that when one is involved with chewing and swallowing, it's impossible to chew, if you're dealing with a kezias, to chew the kezias and swallow it at one shot. So it's, if it's impossible to do chewing and swallowing while it is a complete zayas, so how do you have a violation of Eivir Min HaChai? The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Kahana, Begrumisa Ze'irta. Rashi, once again, Begrumisa Ze'irta, Etzem Koton Sha'al Kaf Hayerech, Shiesh Boi Mashu Bosar. We're talking about a small bone that's attached to the thigh joint. This little bone has a fragment of meat attached to it, the give etzem ashlimo lekezayas, and in order to have an olive quantity, we join the bone and sinews that are there. The ein adam lo aso, a person doesn't chew this, ela bolo, rather he swallows it. So as a result of non-chewing, we understand how a kezayas is consumed in one shot. Rebbe Lozer Omar, afilu choko mi bachutz nami chayov. Now you can see that up till now we had not seen anyone that said choko mi bachutz would be chayov. The two previous presentations of choko mi bachutz led to innocence, but Rebbe Lozer holds there is guilt. And basically he's saying that we're treating Eivir Min HaChai like we would treat any other machol asasuros. Mechusar kreva lav kemechusar maisa domi. Mechusar kreva, the fact that the two half zesim are not close to each other, in the sense that the fact that he split them before he put them in his mouth, that's not considered as if something is lacking by way of action. It's not viewed as if he has eaten only a chatzi zayas, because at the end of the day, assuming he's eaten it within the kedei achilas pras, he has eaten a full zayas quantity, albeit in halves. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new discussion. And as you skim ahead in the lines, we have a new marking. A diamond appears. This is explained under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. The Nosei Mivneh reads as follows, where a diamond is featured. Bein Hashinayim. That's an expression that you see in a diamond. And a few lines later, Bein Hachanichayim. We're talking about the Aver Menachai that one is eating, the Kezias. It may very well be that this can be applied to other Isurim as well. What is the status of the item, the food that's stuck between your teeth? In other words, you put a full Zayas into your mouth, and but when it comes to the swallowing of it, some is left stuck between one's teeth. That's Bein HaShinayim. Later, there will be mention of Bein HaChanichayim. This is a reference to a food substance that's stuck to the roof of one's mouth, one's palate. How does that figure? In other words, he's not swallowing, at the end of the day, he hasn't swallowed a complete kezias. However, a complete kezias did reach the person's throat, palate and throat. The Gemara. We have a number one and number two present showing that the issue is presented in two different versions. Omer Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Kezayis she'omru chutz mishel bein hashinayim. That means that when we speak about the guilt upon eating a kezayis, that is true provided there is a kezayis besides the substance, the food that's stuck between one's teeth. In other words, if all together you have a kezayis, but that's made up also of that which remained between one's teeth, he would not be guilty. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, af im bein hashinayim. A kezayis, and Rabbi Yochanan represents a stringency, namely that even if the kezayis is made up of that which is stuck between one's teeth, that is still considered guilt-worthy. Omar Rav Popo. Rav Popo is a second approach. He says, "Bishel bein hashinayim kuliyama lo pligi." As far as the meat stuck between one's teeth, everyone agrees that he will be exempt if the substance, if the meat that's between one's teeth, is part of the minimum kezias. Well, he hasn't consumed a kezias, and therefore everyone will agree, according to Rav Popo, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that there is no guilt. Ki pligi bein hachanichayim. The controversy between Rav Shlokish and Rav Yochanan arises regarding the meat that is, though not swallowed, but stuck to the person's palate. Mor sova hare nene grono bekezayis. A person is said to have received a benefit or pleasure even from that which he hasn't actually swallowed, but that's stuck to the roof of his mouth. That's called Nene Grono Bekezayis. Rashi, Hare Nene Grono, Rashi a few lines down from here says, Betam Shnei Chatzoi Zaysim. He has enjoyed the taste of two half Zaysim, and that is sufficient. We should actually just correct ourselves, because this Rashi we just read prematurely. So we'll just reverse ourselves for a moment, going back into the Gemara, and we don't have to make reference at this point to Shnei Chatzoi Zaysim, and that will be relevant in the upcoming piece of Gemara. Continuing, Mor Sovar, the opinion that holds innocence, achila b'me'ov bo'inon. Achila is established only by that which reaches one's stomach. So that if part of the kezias is stuck to one's palate, that would not be sufficient for creating guilt. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that the upcoming Gemara is a new discussion. In order to introduce this, let's glance at the outside margin under the Nosei heading. Rav Asi Omer, Ochal Chatzi Zayas Vekioi. If one ate a half Zayas, half olive quantity of forbidden substance, Vekioi, and then vomited it up. V'chozer v'ochal Chatzi Zayas Acher. And then he took another, a separate Chatzi Zayas, a new Chatzi Zayas, and ate it, Chayav. This person will be guilty. Darei nene groinoi bekezayas. Even though there does not remain in this person's stomach a full olive quantity of forbidden substance, because the first half zayas he vomited up, nevertheless, as far as throat enjoyment, this person experienced throat enjoyment of a kezayas. Two half zayasim were in this person's throat. Rav Elazar Yakshe, we will see in the Gemara as it unfolds, Rav Elazar comes and raises a question. Loma dafka ayadei chatzi zayas acher. In order to convey your teaching, Rav Elazar says to Rav Asi, why do you have to speak about his eating a second half zayas? In other words, if you've established that you don't need to have a full zayas in one stomach in order to be chayav, and that hanas grono is enough, so gam im hoya chozer v'ochel oisoi chatzi zayas sheki yesh l'chayvo. Even if he would have re-eaten the half zayas that he vomited up, that too should result in chay, in a chiyuv, in guilt. He had eaten a half zayas and then vomited up and then re-ate it. That would be two halves, essentially. A half and a half would be a full zayas of throat benefit. So Rav Elazar's focus is on why does Rav Asi teach in, once you establish that guilt is experienced or is achieved at Hanoaz Grono, you don't have to state the case as eating a second, a new Chatzi Zayas. Rather, you could have taught this Chiyuv even if he had eaten the same half Zayas that he had vomited up. We'll see later in the Gemara that Rav Elazar isn't really asking a question out of curiosity, but Rav Elazar knew that Rav Asi had once taught this halacha and taught it concerning the original Chatzi Zayas also leads to guilt. It just so happens, the Gemara reports, that Rav Asi forgot his learning. He may have taken ill, had a lapse in memory, and forgot his original teaching. And when he spoke up now teaching this second new Chatzi Zayas. Rav Elazar, aware of this gap, or this this point being forgotten, he tries to recount it to Rav Asi through asking a question. The question was simply designed to joggle Rav Asi's memory. And he did this as an expression of honor, of respect, instead of telling him straight out, hey, you know, Rav Asi, you know, you forgot. You once taught the also Chatzi Zayas, the original Chatzi Zayas. He nevertheless tried to joggle his memory by presenting it as if it were a question. Let's now see this inside. Omer Rav Asi. Omer Rabbi Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ochal Chatzi Zayas v'hikioi v'chozer v'ochal Chatzi Zayas acher chayav. If a person ate a half olive quantity of forbidden food and then vomited it up and then ate a second half olive quantity of the forbidden food, the same forbidden food, but it's a new Chatzi Zayas, he is guilty. My taimo, hare, nene grono bechazayas. The reason he is guilty is because his throat benefited, enjoyed a full olive quantity, which is the minimum requirement or the minimum amount to generate guilt. Bo Rabbi Elazar Mirabasi. Rabbi Elazar asks if Rabbi Elazar ochal chatzi zayas vikio v'chozar v'ochloi mahu. Ochlo means he ate the same chatzi zayas that he just vomited up. What would the din be then? At this point, the Gemara doesn't know, like we said already in our introduction, what Rabbi Elazar's real agenda was. The Gemara thinks at this point that Rabbi Elazar is simply asking a question. And on this, the Gemara raises a question on the question. And we've indicated this with a long question marking. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that appears with a circle and a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines develop this difficulty or question that the Gemara raises. So in a sense, we're asking what appears right now as a question on the question. My komebaya lay. What is bothering Rabbi Elazar? E have equal, e lo have equal. If the issue that is bothering Rabbi Elazar is how do we view that which is vomited up? In other words, if a person ate something and then immediately vomited it up, is it considered equal, digested? If it would be considered digested, it would then take on the status known as pirsha, simple waste. And the second eating, reconsumption of that, we'll say, the second eating, the eating of that which was vomited up, would not be considered food. And as such, there would be no guilt. On the other hand, maybe it's not equal. Maybe the fact that you swallowed something and then vomited up immediately, it's not considered as having been digested, and it therefore retains its food identity, food status. Well, if that's what is bothering, if that's what's underlying Rabbi Elazar's question, the Tiboya Le Kezias, he could have simply asked, let us say a person ate a full zayas and then vomited up and re-ate that same full zayas, would he be chayav two offenses for having eaten two kezesim? So, since Rabbi Elazar didn't ask the question involving a full zayas, it doesn't seem that this is what's preoccupying him, the issue of equal. Ela, maybe this is what's bothering him. E basar groinoi azlinon, e basar meov azlinon. Maybe what Rabbi Elazar is asking of Rav Asi is, do we base things on throat benefit, throat pleasure? Namely, according to this approach, it would be accepted that it's not considered equal. It's that which was vomited up is not considered digested. It's considered still food. And the question might be, do we look at grono benefit, throat benefit, ibasir me'av azlinon, or we look at stomach benefit? And in terms of stomach benefit, since it's the same chatzi zayas that's being re-eaten, at the end of the day, what's left in his stomach? Only a chatzi zayas, a total of a chatzi zayas is there. And since that's less than the necessary quantity, he would be innocent. Well, if that point is that which was bothering Rabbi Elazar, namely grono versus meov, v'tifshot lei mida Rabbi Asi. He could have determined that from that which Rabbi Asi said earlier. Notice we have little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and we see above that Rabbi Asi said, hare nene grono b'gezayis, that Rabbi Asi himself holds that hanoas grono is sufficient. So we are, at this point, not understanding what is underlying Rabbi Elazar's question. The Gemara answers. Rabbi Elazar, in fact, doesn't have any question whatsoever. In fact, according to Rabbi Elazar, things are very simple, are well known. And that is that there is no equal, and that Hanoas Grono is in fact enough, and as a such he did not have to ask anything, but rather he was aware that Rav Asi had forgotten his own learning. Rav Asi Gamre, Gamre means his teaching or his learning, Iakirle, became forgotten to him. V'yosu Rav Elozer Lad Kure, Rav Elozer came to remind him. V'hachi Ko'omale, and thusly he said to him, thusly Rav Elozer was trying to communicate to him, Lomali Chatzi Zayas Acher, why do you have to, in order to achieve guilt, speak about eating a second chatzizayas after having vomited up the first chatzizayas? Lemo mor bedidei. You could have said your halacha regarding the same original chatzizayas that he ate, vomited up, and re-ate it. Deiko lemishma mino atarti. By teaching the original chatzizayas, we could have learned two halachas. In other words, we could have learned two halachas from one example, from one case. Number one, shamino mino delo havi ikol. We would have learned that that which is vomited up is not considered digested, and hence is still considered food, having food status. Veshamino mino darenene grono begezayas. And we would have also concluded that the important factor in establishing guilt is hanoas grono, throat benefit, and a kezayas of quantity passed through his throat. Ishtik velo amarle velo midi. Reb Asi, after hearing Reb Elozer and his question, which was really an attempt to remind him of an original teaching, Reb Asi remained silent. Velo amarle velo midi. He didn't say anything. Amarle. Reb Elozer says moifes hador. Moifes hador is an expression meaning great one of the generation. Lo zimnin sagiin amris kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. Is it not so that on numerous occasions you taught this, you said over this in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, that even the original chatzizayas that was vomited up and reconsumed would lead to guilt? The Omar Loch and Rabbi Yochanan approved of that, and he added in explanation, he said, Arei nene grono begezayas, that through doing that he derives Hanoas grono of a kezias, and hence there is guilt. So, at the end of the day, as far as Rav Asi's shita, if we rely on Reb Elozer's recounting of it, there is guilt not only eating a chatzizayas, vomiting up and eating another chatzizayas, but even eating a chatzizayas and vomiting up and re-eating the same half zayas quantity would also lead to guilt. This concludes the seventh perek of Chulin Perek Yid Anosha, and with that we conclude our shiur for today.